When I was 6 years old, I prayed a prayer with my parents, confessing my sin to God and asking that Jesus would be my Savior and my Lord, saying sorry for what I'd done and committing my life to Him. What happened next? Did I then have to spend the rest of my life just sitting back and waiting for God to do some work in me? For Jesus to come again? Do I do nothing and sit back for God to work? Or maybe I do something. Maybe I then find a set of rules. Okay, so don't swear, don't drink, don't smoke, go to church once on a Sunday, give some money to church. Is that what I do as a Christian? I find a set of rules to obey now that I've been saved by grace. Many of you older Christians here became Christians a long time ago. What have you been doing since you became a Christian? That's what we're going to be thinking about this morning. And Paul is writing this letter to Timothy. Here in verse 11, have a look at that. Verse 11, he directly addresses him again. But you, man of God. But although Paul is writing specifically to Timothy, he's assuming that the rest of the church will be looking over Timothy's shoulder, because the last verse that we looked at, grace be with you all. So he's writing to Timothy, but assuming the rest of the church is looking over his shoulder. And that's what we're going to be looking at. He's writing to a Timothy figure, an elder of the church, an overseer, but all of us are looking over Timothy's shoulder. So, verse 11, he's to flee all this. This is what Paul's talked about in the previous verses, a love of money, which, verse 9, plunges people into ruin and destruction. And on the contrary, he is to pursue what? Righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Character. Timothy is to live a righteous and godly life. He's to have faith in God, love for all his people. He's to endure around him when people are not enduring, they're making a shipwreck of their life. And he's to have gentleness, a quality that probably in Ephesus at the time was lacking greatly. So this passage is full of commands. Flee, pursue, and then here's another one. Fight. Timothy is to fight the good fight of the faith. Does that sound a bit too macho? Maybe a bit too much like he's got to work for his own salvation. He's got to do good works so that he can be saved. Is that what it sounds like? Surely Timothy's been saved by grace, by what Christ has done for him. This is the main point of the passage. Fight the good fight of the faith. Fight the good fight of the faith. It's an athletics image, not a fighting or a soldier image. The word translated fight is used in chapter 4. Have a look at that. Chapter 4, verse 10. To mean strive. So that is why we labor and strive, because we've put our hope in the living God. It's used in the letter to the Hebrews. It's up on the screen. You can have a look at it. Chapter 12, verses 1 to 2. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance. What? The race. Same word. The race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. So picture a race with lots of runners. It's a marathon, not a sprint. A marathon lasting 80 years or so for most of us. Hard work. We need to keep going. And then Paul goes on. Take hold. That's the next command. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. This is the prize at the end of the race. Most races have three people who receive a prize: gold, silver, bronze. This race has millions of people who receive a prize. In fact, everyone who finishes. All you've got to do to receive the prize is to finish the race. Timothy and all of us who are Christians were called to this when we made our confession in the presence of many witnesses. And Paul's probably referring to Timothy's baptism when he publicly declared his faith in Jesus. So Timothy and we are to fight the good fight of the faith, and we are to take hold of the prize, the eternal life to which we've been called. But what does this mean in practice? What does this mean, Paul? Well, let's have a look at Paul's second letter to Timothy, chapter 4, verses 6 to 8. It's up on the screens. You can have a look at it in your Bibles as well. For, Paul writes, I am already being poured out like a drink offering. Paul's old. He's about to die. And that's what he's describing. The time for my departure, my death, is near. Listen to this. I have fought the good fight. Same phrase. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness. That's the prize, isn't it? The crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. That's what it means. Keep the faith. Keep trusting in Jesus Christ and his death and resurrection to save us from God's judgment. That's what it means. It's as simple as that. Keep trusting in what Jesus Christ has already done on the cross for us and our salvation. Back in the start of the letter, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 18 to 20, up on the screen again, Paul refers to two people who've stopped running, Hymenaeus and Alexander. They have rejected the faith and so have suffered shipwreck with regard to the faith. Now, I went to a Christian school, lots of Christians in the school. My four good friends in my last year, we were all Christians together. One of them, in fact, became a Christian when he was 16 years old through the witness of one of the other guys. We all went off to university, different universities. Within 6 months of going to university, three out of the four of my good friends had stopped going to church and stopped calling themselves Christians. One had, he was playing in a sports team, and he liked being in the sports team and hanging out with his mates, the banter, the drinking, the sleeping with girls. The other, his sexual orientation didn't fit with being a Christian. They stopped running the race. They stopped trusting in Jesus and his death and resurrection. They found other things. And Paul mentions several encouragements to keep going to Timothy. What's going to encourage us to keep going, to keep trusting? First, verse 12, we were called to this prize of eternal life. We've been put on the track. We are meant to be in the race. We were called. Second, we have witnesses. In verse 12, there are witnesses who heard him make his confession. We're not running this race on our own, a lone runner trying to keep going, but we're part of a huge team. Look at the team. Each of us has witnessed the other's testimony as we've publicly declared it in our baptism. If we're not baptized, then why not? Go and do it. Third, Jesus has gone before us. Look at verse 13. In the sight of God, who gives life to everything, and of Christ Jesus, who, while testifying before Pontius Pilate, made the good confession. Commentators argue about what exactly this means, when Jesus made the good confession. But what is clear, that Paul wants us to take courage from the fact that Jesus has gone before us. He's testified. He's fought the good fight. He's gone to the cross. He's died on the cross for our sins. He's kept trusting in the Father. And he now stands at the finish line waiting for us, the prize of eternal life with Jesus, the captain of our team. And more than that, he'll return. Verse 14, have a look. He'll return and the race will be over. So third, Jesus has gone before us. Fourth, God is completely sovereign. No one else, God. Have a look at verses 15 to 16. Which God will bring about in his own time. God, the blessed and only ruler, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone is immortal and who lives in unapproachable light, whom no one has seen or can see. To him be honor and might forever. Amen. The people in Ephesus, where Timothy was, may have been taught, may have believed that the Roman Emperor was the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But Paul says, no, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords is God. He is the only immortal one, the one who has life in himself and who can give life to others, eternal life, the prize. Maybe you think I'm saying that we need to earn our salvation here, fight the good fight. I'm not saying that. It's God who saves. The only thing that we bring to our salvation is the sin from which we need to be saved. Even the faith that we have in Jesus, by which we are saved, is a gift from God. That's what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. And so our salvation is safe because God is sovereign. He is the King of Kings. He is in control. When life around is turbulent and is chaotic and in a mess, he will keep us going. So four encouragements there. Faith is not something that just happened way back there when I prayed a prayer or when you prayed a prayer a long time in the past. And then we sit back and we think, okay, God, work in my life. I've done my bit. I had faith in you all that time ago. Faith is active. Do you know what the word actually is in the original? Agonar. What does that sound like? Agonar. Agony. That's the where we get our word agony from, isn't it? This race, this fight is going to, we're going to have to strive and struggle. And it's going to be agonizing at times. Every day, as the world and our flesh fights against us and wants us to stop trusting in Jesus, we need to fight to keep looking to the one who has died on the cross for us. When things go wrong, or when things go right and everything is easy, and we're tempted to stop trusting, we need to fight. One thing that will make this race even harder is if we're carrying a lot of baggage. Imagine running a marathon carrying a huge, heavy rucksack full of heavy things. Now, you could finish if you were unbelievably strong. If you were in the SAS, then you could finish. Look at the next verses, verses 17 to 19. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. If you're rich, then you're carrying heavy baggage. Riches make you arrogant, verse 17. They lead you to put your hope in them and not in Jesus, verse 17. You'll stop looking ahead to the prize of eternal life with Jesus Christ, and you'll stop and you'll take off your rucksack and you'll look inside and you'll marvel at all these lovely things that you have, and you'll stop running. Being rich isn't a bad thing in itself, but it's when it stops you from hoping in Jesus. You need to be a very strong runner, have a very strong faith, otherwise you'll stop running. I didn't tell you about the third friend of mine who stopped running the race. Riches. He went off to university. After university, he got a job in London, working hard, earning lots of money, playing hard, and he loved it. Life was good. He had everything, lots of money. And it turned him, well, by the time he was first year at university, he'd already stopped trusting in God. His eyes were fixed on a different prize, the prize of money. Money in London with a good job. What do we need to do in response to this passage? Fight. That's the basic point, isn't it? We fight to keep trusting. If you want to stay a Christian, if I want to stay a Christian, then we need to fight every day, struggle, strive, agonize to keep trusting. Running a marathon is hard work. My older brother's run the London Marathon twice. He told me once about something called hitting the wall. Heard that expression, hitting the wall? So what happens if you can run a marathon or cycle a lot? After about 15 hours of running, the levels of glycogen, don't ask me what glycogen is, the levels of glycogen in your body completely run out, and you can collapse, and you can completely stop running, or you just have to walk the rest of the way. In Andrew's first marathon, he hit the wall and basically walked the rest of the way. Running a marathon is difficult. And we might hit the wall at points. What is going to keep us running the race? Here are some specific things. Fight to be godly. We're not saved because we're good, because we're not. But once we are saved, we do become good. That's what Paul's saying to Timothy. Flee this, pursue this, righteousness, love, endurance, gentleness. Are you fighting for that? Here's a tip. Why not this year tackle one thing that you want to fight against? That's what Rachel and I are doing. We're tackling one thing that we particularly want to fight against. Every athlete knows their weaknesses. What are your weaknesses? Secondly, fight to keep trusting. Sooner or later, you are going to hit the wall. You're going to come across suffering. And you're going to need to fight to keep trusting so that you can carry on believing in a God who is in control when these things do happen. Fight to keep trusting. Fight to be generous. Maybe it won't be difficult periods. Maybe it will be good periods. Wealth and plenty and comfort. You don't need Jesus anymore because you've got a good life. And for many of us in this congregation, we are wealthy. If we've got a reasonable salary, a reasonable job in the UK, then we'll be in the top 2 to 3% wealthy people in the world. And if we're carrying a lot of money around with us, if we don't have a strong faith, we're going to stop running. Fight to be generous. The solution, be rich in good deeds, generous and willing to share. There are people in our congregation, maybe sitting on the same pew as you, maybe sitting on the same row of chairs as you, who really are struggling to make ends meet, to keep food on the table. We've got ample opportunity to be generous here. There's the pastoral care fund that the church runs. The committee meets every 2 weeks to decide who they can give money to, who's in particular need. The pastoral care fund always needs more money so it can help more people. Why not give more money to that? Fight for the truth. This is from verses 20 to 21, which we didn't have time to look at. You may be a Timothy, someone who is in a position where you are teaching others truth, or you may not. How are we at Easton going to be guarding this gospel, this good news, this truth, so it doesn't get polluted by untruth? False teachers will come in with their interesting and clever and modern and attractive and subtle ideas and tear us away. How are we going to keep fighting and keep running? An athlete needs a good diet, a team to encourage them, and a prize to look forward to. Our diet is God's word. As we read and meditate on it and pray over it, God works in us by his Spirit to shape us. Because we're not going to complete the race in our own strength. We need to feed on God through his word as his Spirit works in us. Are you feeding regularly? On your own? In your families? As you come to church? Our team. Are you spending time with the team? With your church family? Allowing the team to encourage you when you fall? And to pick you up? In a home group? In a one-to-one relationship? Are you letting yourself build relationships with a team? Our goal, the prize of eternal life with Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Are you fixing your eyes on that as the goal? Or a different goal? The goal of riches? Or something completely different? Many of our older members are keeping trusting in Jesus Christ. They've done this for 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80 years. Each day, fighting to keep trusting. Will you keep fighting? Let me pray. Dear Father, we praise you for Jesus Christ and his salvation, for his work that he's done on the cross. We praise you that it is finished. The temple curtain is torn down, and we now have access to you. We are adopted into your family. We praise you for the faith that you have given us. Father, help us now as we run this race, looking ahead to the prize of eternal life with you. Help us now to keep fighting, to keep running, to keep agonizing. In Jesus' name. Amen.